know something you almost had to be born in New Orleans to have it. But it's cool to try and, you know, kind of imitate, because it's like, you know, it's like, it's, but yeah, it's like, kind of, that's like another place where, like, talking about, kind of, we're talking about how time is kind of this sort of thing, where it's like, there's a lot of sort of variations within playing time, because nobody's going to play quarter notes the same way, nobody's going to play eighth notes the same way. And it's like doing that kind of New Orleans stuff, where you're, like, kind of trying to potentially, like, you know, if you're going complete swing, where it's like, that, 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 like, that's one thing, but if you're kind of like, that, 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 you know, it's kind of, there's a subtle difference, but there's a difference there. And that's something cool, too, like, kind of like, you know, certain tunes kind of dictate that. It's a thing, too. Tunes kind of dictate the way you play them, the way you kind of phrase them. So let's do another tune.
Was the other one you wanted to do, Betty?
Maiden Voyage.
Maiden Voyage,
yeah. Cool.
That might be weird without the bass too, right?
some friends and like, I'll go a whole gig. But she won't give me a solo, and I'm like, can I have one? You know, like, I'll get pretty mad about it. I mean, I never say anything to her. Yeah, but I was gonna say two things about this tune. I think modal tunes present two distinct challenges. I think compared to other tunes, and I love modal tunes. I love modal jazz. It's kind of what got me into jazz. Actually, yeah, this is a great record. If you haven't listened to the whole record, check it out sometime. So there's two things about modal tunes that are tricky. One is just keeping track of the form, because it's kind of the irony is that you have less chords to deal with. And the problem with that is when you have less chords to deal with, it's actually a lot easier to kind of lose track of where you are. So I think there were a couple places where it got a little shaky, like I think a beat might have gotten skipped somewhere, or you know, kind of come back into the head. It was like, you know, things weren't quite so sure. So this is like one of those tunes where it's like you really need to be on top of the form. It's like you gotta know, because it's like it's one thing when you're playing a Bach tune and it's like you miss one chord but the next chord is like 2 beats away. But this, it's like you're sitting on it for like how many bars, like 4 or 8 bars, and then it's like really like, you know, if you miss that chord, it's like, you know, it's out there. So that's one thing to like get really, you know, and that's just kind of knowing the tune. Not necessarily anything. It happens to everybody. Everybody kind of gets lost. But the other thing too is like when you get lost, is try to kind of listen to where somebody else is. And if you know they're not lost, then kind of tag along with them, kind of be okay. The other thing too is it's like because you don't have as much harmonic information, you have to generate a lot of the content of your solo. You're much more responsible. That's the thing. Complicated because you're dealing with less harmony, right? But it ends up becoming more complicated, certainly, because it's like you have to kind of supply that harmony. Like, I guess, like, you know, like Coltrane's whole thing is like he got the modal thing because he could superimpose all these chords and stuff. And I'm not saying that you have to do all these fancy, like, superpositions and things, you know, and kind of stuff, but it's like it kind of goes back to like 10 and like really make sure, like, the note you're going to play, you know, is really the note you want to play, or like, kind of, you know, developing the ability to kind of think a couple steps ahead, you know. It's tough because it's like, it's weird because when you're in the middle of it, it's like this odd dichotomy where it's like you want to be in the moment, but you also want to have a sense of like where you're going. And that's the toughest thing to kind of get together. It's something I'm trying to get together. But you can hear it, like, all the greats, it's like, they start somewhere, and it's like, they do this whole thing, but then they know where they end. So it's like, it's almost, for me, like, especially when I'm playing, I tend to concern myself less with the middle chunk, and it's more like, I kind of want to know where I start and where I stop. And it kind of, I'm kind of cool with whatever happens in between, as long as I have a point where I'm like, okay, this is where I'm going to resolve. For me, it's like a certain beat, like I might say, I'm going to resolve on the end of 2, you know, or I'm going to resolve on the end of 3. You know, I tend to, like, resolve more on, like, the end of 1. You know, I tend to resolve more on the end of 4. And so that's something, there's a couple things. Like, when you're dealing with harmonic stuff, you can also think about that rhythmically, too. It's like, oh, I want to resolve on this chord. It's like, I want to build all this tension in this phrase, and then this chord is where I'm going to release things. You know, so it's like, say like the second chord, you're like, okay, or like the B section on this tune is a great place to build tension, I think, you know, because it kind of lends itself, it has a certain kind of sonic quality, right, that you can build there, and then it's like you go back to the A, and then it's like you can do this release, because the A is a little bit more static, you know, but it's also, it can be cool too to like, and I feel like I keep saying like, contradicting myself, but it's also cool, it's like maybe sometimes you're like, oh, I'm going to build tension here, because that's not what you expect, you know. The form of the tune might dictate something, but then it's like if you can also subvert that form. But again, it kind of goes back to that point. It's like it's about intention. It's like, you know, it kind of like, and this is something where you can, to practice intention, it's more about sitting in the practice room and like thinking about these things when you're doing that. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to put this here. I'm going to put this kind of tension here. It's like maybe I'll play like a minute score somewhere. Chord number, I don't know, whatever, you know, if you're done. stuff like that. And so that's the kind of stuff you kind of work out in the practice room where you're a little bit more deliberate about kind of the note choices you make. So that when you come into this situation when you're playing with people, where those things will kind of come out spontaneously, where you still have that intention, but you also have that aspect of your listening and cluing into what somebody else is doing, and you're kind of just expressing yourself, and you're kind of trying to channel something as well. I think that's the important thing. So we can do another, I think we can do like two more tunes, right? Or
sure.
Yeah, two or three. I guess it depends on how long the tunes go, but we got like 12 minutes, so I think two or three.
Put them twice as fast and probably like,
yeah, I could probably do four, right? Yeah.
I'm not suggesting this, but I'm
not
suggesting.
What
else?
We were working on at some point Stolen Moments.
Yeah, you want to do, that's a good tune. That's another one.